At this time, we have several people that would like to join with us in the ministry of Faith Baptist Church. They would like to come. I want us to open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke, the sixth chapter today. Luke chapter 6, please. I've been thinking a lot this week about the word foundation. It's a word that occurs over 84 times in the Bible. And so the word foundation is very important. I was reminded of the importance of a foundation this week. For many years, I've been sleeping on a mattress that was giving me a backache. I'd wake up in the morning and my back would be killing me. And then throughout the day, it would be hurting. And so I went out many years ago and I bought a $1,000 mattress thinking this is going to cure the problem. Well, it didn't. I still woke up with a tremendous backache. And then I figured, well, they've got new technology nowadays. The mattress that I've had, maybe I'll replace it, try another one, and I did, and still woke up with a backache. Well, the problem I found out was not the mattress. The problem was the foundation under the mattress. For I had a box spring that was too soft. It would give way to the springs of the mattress, causing us, no matter how much we would spend on a mattress, to have a very uncomfortable night's sleep. Well, this week, I went to Home Depot, along with my friend Mervin, and we bought a 3/4-inch piece of good plywood. Placed that solid board in between the box spring and the mattress, and voila, I had a good night's sleep for the last three nights. Waking up with no backache. And it reminded me of how important it is to have a good foundation. Amen. The most important part of a building is its foundation. Is that not true? I heard on the news last evening about a building in Poland just crumbling to the ground. And as of last night, they didn't know exactly why it fell. They didn't think it was the weight of the snow on top of the roof of the building. But the building just collapsed, killing many people. The most important part of a house is its foundation. And the word foundation, as I said, occurs over 84 times in the Bible. And as I studied some of those occurrences, these are some of the verses that really stood out to me, and I'd like to read a couple to you. One very familiar verse is Psalm 11, verse 3, which says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Speaking of the foundations of life, the foundation of society, the foundations of government, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Proverbs 10, verse 25 says, "As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. With the righteous there is security." Matthew 25, verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." 1 Corinthians 3:11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation upon which we stand." Ephesians 2:20. "We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone," as God used the apostles and prophets to lay the foundation of Christ. We are built upon that solid foundation. 1 Timothy 6, verse 19, talks about deacons and, And as they live godly lives, and as people live godly lives, godliness doesn't save, but it's an evidence of salvation. And the Bible says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Hebrews 11, verse 10, Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God uses the term foundation in speaking of the firmness with which he set this world in place. He uses the word foundation in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the foundation of everything. And today, I would like us to see that word as mentioned by Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46. Jesus said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." On Friday, December 11th, 1992, one of the most severe wind and rainstorms to ever hit New York City struck the East Coast of America. The storm came suddenly and unexpectedly. The city was totally flooded. I remember it well, for that night we were supposed to have the annual Christmas Singspiration hosted by Faith Baptist Church, but we had to cancel it due to the enormous storm we had. Rivers flowed through many major streets. The FDR Expressway on the east side of Manhattan was totally flooded. Cars were completely covered with water. My normal 10-minute to church took about 2 hours that day. I could not get on the entry ramp to the Van Wyck Expressway and get here, so I had to take local roads. As I drove through rivers of water, I found that many times I drove through 2 and 3 feet of water and just hoped my car wouldn't stall. As I went by Roosevelt, by the junkyard, car parts were floating down the street right out of the junkyard. And so I'm driving my car in, through a river with debris floating around from the junkyard. The city was in turmoil that day. Because of the winds, they created very high tides, and because of the abundance of rain with the high tides, many homes in New York and New Jersey that were located on islands were badly damaged or totally destroyed. Some of them did remain intact, however, and others were just carried out to sea. Some resort and vacation homes on certain islands were completely devastated, while others, due to strong foundations and cement-reinforced walls, weathered the storm and remained firm. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in this account in Luke 6, also found in Matthew chapter 7, about a storm and rain and about two builders, two foundations, and two outcomes. Our Lord tells us about a wise man and a foolish man. He tells us about a foundation of rock and a foundation of sand. And he tells us about two outcomes: security for one man, devastation for another man. I'd like us to go and see this account, which is given in a little bit more detail in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. So if we would back up to Matthew 7. we will see some detail about what the Lord Jesus has to say about the foundation. Matthew chapter 7, please, and verse number 24. Notice what the scripture says. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. The context here illustrates that Jesus is talking about a true believer versus a false believer. The two houses represent professions of faith. The foundations that he mentions represent the basis of their profession. Some built on hypocrisy, while others built on a genuine obedience which came out of faith, that issued forth from faith. The question all of us have to ask ourselves is, upon what is your life built? What is the foundation of your house? What undergirds the profession of your faith? We find first the wise man mentioned in verses 24 and 25. And of course, this passage is very familiar to the young people of Faith Baptist Church and to the children, for they sing a song that goes along with this chapter and this context about the wise man. And the wise man built his house upon the rock. Remember that? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. And the rains came down, and the floods came up. The rains came down, and the floods came up. The rains came down, and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. But it wasn't so with the foolish man. And the kids know that when the same rain and when the same winds came, they beat upon the house and it fell. Now, why was the wise man wise and why was the fool a fool? Well, the answer comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a wise man which built his house upon a rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them is like a fool that built his house upon the sand. So the wise man is wise because he heard the word of God and obeyed it. And the fool is a fool because he heard the same message but did not obey it. So the issue, my friends, as to whether or not we have a sure foundation is whether or not we are mere hearers or doers of what God says. Now, according to this context, the wise man built his house upon a rock by hearing and obeying God's word. Notice he says in verse 24 of this chapter, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. The word whosoever means that this applies to everybody. Nobody is exempt. God shows no favoritism. Whoever hears these sayings. And notice, whose sayings are they? They're the sayings of mine, Jesus says. In other words, these are the words of Christ. Notice, Jesus' words were his words. He spoke with authority, with independent authority. He didn't merely get his message from God. He was God. And he didn't just speak like the apostles or prophets might, who got a message from God. He spoke, and his words were authoritative because he's Lord. And so at the end of this chapter, the religious leaders of the day were amazed because he didn't speak like the scribes and like the Pharisees. For he taught as one having authority, and he did because he's the Lord. Whoever hears the words of Jesus hears the words of God. And he says, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and the sayings, of course, can be found in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them points to a continual and habitual obedience to the Word of God. Now, there are many who pride themselves in past obedience and figure, well, I was obedient in the past. That means that I can sort of excuse myself now from obedience. But the word in the present tense implies a continual and a habitual lifestyle of obedience. And he says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a wise man. Now, if you study the Bible about wisdom, wisdom in God's word was not mere theoretical knowledge. Wisdom was not just receiving theory. It was knowledge that relates to life. It was the practical practice of knowledge. A wise man is one who responds to life circumstances with discretion and perception and prudence. And wisdom is not just knowing a truth, it is putting the truth into shoe leather and living it out. It is walking in truth. It is living in truth. That's wisdom in the Bible. Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom. Like chapter 9, which talks about a wise man being open to correction and instruction. A wise man gaining his wisdom because he has a fear of God. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A wise man reaps the benefits of his wisdom, and he's blessed because of his obedience to that wisdom. And you know, my friends, all of us need wisdom. God wants to give it to us. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. But wisdom, as we find in the Word of God, is truth put into action. It is truth that engages the heart and the will, and a person who submits to that truth is blessed. So what did the wise man do? He built his house upon a rock. Because he was wise, he was open to Christ's instruction. He heard the words of the Lord and he practiced them. Because he was wise, he feared God and he prepared for the storm ahead. The judgment, the warnings came. Storm ahead, judgment ahead. And this man, because of his wisdom, prepared for the coming storm. Because he was wise, his house stood. And he endured and reaped the benefits of his own wisdom. And why? Because he built his house upon a rock, a Petra. The word is used of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said of himself, upon this rock, upon this Petra, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He built his house on a huge expanse of rock. A stable, solid, and unmovable rock. And so the wise man, he built his house upon the rock by hearing and obeying the word of God. But the fool, on contrary, heard the same word, but did not obey. Notice verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The word translated fool here is the Greek word moro, from which we get the word moron. A fool is a man who hates wisdom. He despises wisdom. He is the person who comes to a church like Faith Baptist Church, does not pay attention to the preaching, does not listen to the teaching of the Word of God, and has no intention of obeying it. That's the fool. He hears, but he doesn't heed. Some are too proud to learn. Their pride hardens them against instruction. They can't be taught. Others are too stubborn to obey. But the fool is building upon a sand foundation. In contrast to the rock, sand is loose. It is unstable. It is extremely movable. The Bible says that the hypocrite's hope shall perish. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. Job 8, verse 13. He had a house that maybe looked very good. The siding looked good. But the structure, though it looked impressive, one day would be revealed by a storm. The storm would reveal its true quality. And the fool who heard the message did not receive it, did not engage his will and obey it, and as a result, his house fell. I believe, my friends, and this is a very important theological point, that obedience reveals the genuineness of our profession of faith. Now, certainly none of us is perfect. I stand before you as a saved man by the grace of God, but in no way am I perfect. I am standing perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise God for that verse Brother Matthew quoted in Romans 5 and verse 1, that we are justified by faith. We are declared righteous by God based on our faith. And so God sees us as perfect because of Jesus Christ and his righteousness being credited to our spiritual bank account. But once credited with Christ's righteousness, God does something. He puts his Holy Spirit within the believer. He puts a new heart within us. We become partakers in the new covenant promises, and God gives us a desire and an ability to obey God. And so obedience is not what makes you a Christian. Obedience is what reveals you to be a Christian. And of course, disobedience reveals one to not be a Christian. I'm talking about a lifestyle of disobedience. The indisputable evidence of whether somebody is saved or not is whether or not they obey God's word. While some believers are identified as those that obey the gospel, unbelievers are called sons of disobedience. Ephesians 5, verses 5 and 6. Peter taught that one's profession of faith is confirmed by his obedience to God's word. Listen to 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so one can have his calling and election sure, according to Peter, by giving diligence to God's word and by obeying God's word. The doom of unbelievers is also confirmed by their lifestyle of disobedience to God's word. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so an unbeliever manifests his unbelief by his disobedience. And a believer shows his belief by his obedience. Now, Paul said in Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, But in works they deny him. In works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. And so God says that an unbeliever will manifest his unbelief by his lack of works for God. 1 John 2, verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So what does God say? God says that the evidence of a true believer will be in his obedience, and the evidence of a non-believer will be in his disobedience. The question all of us got to ask is this: am I obedient to God's word? Do I obey? If we do not, then we are like a fool that has built a house upon mere sand. Scripture tells us very clearly that we ought to be testing our profession of faith by our obedience, not by popularity. Remember Jesus in that illustration on the painting and in Matthew chapter 7 said, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many people go that way, but the way to eternal life is narrow and few people find it. See, it may be popular to think that, well, look at the way all these people are living, and I'm better than they are. My friend, we don't measure ourselves by others. We need to measure our life by the standard of God's word. Just as there are many on the wide road leading to destruction, just as they are depending on the mere words, Lord, Lord, so many have their lives built on nothing but sand. John MacArthur states, and I agree with him here, he says that the greatest problem in evangelism is not follow-up, but conversion. He says follow-up is the hardest when conversion is the easiest, because easy conversion is frequently no conversion. There is the simplicity which is in Christ. The gospel is simple. The message is simple. What is hard is for a person to admit he's a lost sinner. What is hard is for us to see our need for Jesus Christ. The gospel is a simple message, but yet there are many who just maybe pray a prayer, have a 1, 2, 3, pray after me sort of conversion, and they were not really convinced of their lost condition, and they never truly ask Jesus Christ to save them. Those who make a profession of faith, perhaps to get the soul winner off of their back, are like pulling teeth to get them to become interested in Bible study and prayer and church attendance and doing a follow-up study. Their lack of spiritual interest is due to a lack of the Spirit. They've never been regenerated. I mean, I recall working with people, it seemed like he got saved, but boy, I could not arrange Bible study with them. I mean, it was like pulling teeth. When we arranged something, I'd go to the house and he's not there. Where is he? And I'd set another appointment. Hey, promise, I'll be there. And I go, where is he? And he had no spiritual interest whatsoever. And then I realized, this man's not even saved. He has no desire to learn the word of God. He has no desire to see the Lord change his lifestyle. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. A true mark of a believer is continuance in the word of Jesus Christ. But John said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So we have a wise man and a foolish man. The wise man was wise because he obeyed the word of God. The fool was a fool because he did not. There are some observations I'd like us to think about as we consider this passage of our Lord. The first thought I'd like us to consider is that both men heard the same message. Both men heard the same message. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Both men heard the words. But what a tragedy. One man heard what the prophets and righteous men of old desired to hear. What a privilege he had to hear the words of the Lord himself. But he abused that privilege. Perhaps week after week and year after year, he heard but didn't heed. He's sort of like the man James talked about in James chapter 1, who was a hearer but not a doer, who was one who looked into the perfect law of liberty and didn't seriously consider what he saw and went his way and forgot what manner of man he was. Jesus said through James, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so a person who hears but doesn't do is deceiving himself. There's no blessing to merely hear the word. Hey, folks, listen, I'm glad you're here today. Praise God you're here, and we're here to hear the word, aren't we? We gather every week to hear the word. Yes, to praise God, to sing to God, to pray, but we're here for the word. But you want to know something? There's no blessing in merely hearing the word. Blessing comes in believing the word and then responding to the word in obedience. One knows the word but doesn't obey the word. It's like a man who is lost. He has a map in his hand, but he doesn't follow the instructions of the map. Or he's like a man who knows that something is wrong with his health. He's got all the symptoms of heart disease or cancer, but yet he does nothing with the information that he has. My friend, God has given us information. We need to take it seriously and respond to it. Hearing is important. The Bible says, let every man be swift to hear. God wants us to hear, right? Jesus said, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hearing is very important. But hearing doesn't profit if it is not mixed with faith. Hebrews 4, verse 2. Some people find a certain security in merely hearing and acknowledging the word. There's a certain security in being able to pass a Bible Institute exam. Or somebody in Bible college or even in seminary get good grades. But you know something? The good grade is nothing if you don't believe the truth and obey the truth. But there's a certain false security in that I could quote Scripture. I know the Word of God. But you know, my friends, wisdom, according to Jesus, is not just hearing. It's obedience. Until the will is involved, mere Bible knowledge is not something to take refuge in, but rather it's something to tremble at. Because you are more accountable the more God teaches you. Those who knew God's will but did not do it will be facing a stricter evaluation on Judgment Day than those who didn't have the same privilege. To whomsoever much is given, much is required, the Lord Jesus said. And so, my friends, both heard the same message. Secondly, both built a house. Both men built a house here in Matthew chapter 7. And from outward appearance, both houses would appear to be the same. The difference, what was underneath, that was what was different. The bottom line is that which could not be seen. Some people have a facade. It crumbles, though, when the storm comes. Both builders had confidence that their houses would stand. But one man's confidence was in the Lord and the other man's was in himself. There is one who is pure in his own eyes and yet is not washed from his filthiness. Both houses were constructed, but they chose different foundations. Now, you know, if you know anything at all about a house, that the most important part of that building is the foundation. I mean, the Empire State Building can stand as tall as it does because it is built upon a solid, deep foundation. Foundation is everything when it comes to construction. You could build the most beautiful building in the world, but unless that foundation is secure, it's not going to stand. I mean, it's the foundation that really determines the longevity of the building. It's the foundation that determines whether or not you're going to have cracks throughout the building as the foundation begins to weaken a little bit. Things begin to shift and move. Now, the foundation may not be attractive. The foundation isn't the aesthetic part of the building. The foundation is most often hidden and nobody sees it. But it's the most vital part of the structure. Same is true in our life. The foundation of our life is not just obedience on Sunday where everybody can see, but it's that lifestyle throughout the week when nobody's looking except God. That reveals whether or not we have a good foundation. Both men built a house. Now, one man built the hard way and the other man built the easy way. One man built his house, and according to Luke's gospel, he is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Yesterday over at Itai's house and Elise's house, we were able to look at some of their honeymoon pictures, and they went to Italy. And I noticed that over there in Italy, many of the houses were built upon a mountain range. And it was beautiful. But I'll guarantee that underneath those houses, because if it was built on sand, you couldn't build the way they were. They were sort of terraced up the mountain. You know, houses built all along the mountain. If it wasn't rock, they wouldn't stand. But they were built upon something solid. Everyone is building, either on sand or rock. There are no other alternatives. Just as everybody is either on the wide road or the narrow road, so everybody is either wise or foolish, bearing bad fruit or good fruit. Now, the builder who built in sand no doubt thought that his house would, it looked just as good as the other guy, certainly it would. It would stand, but he failed where quality counted most. It was too much effort to drill into rock. It was too much work to get below the dirt and get down where the foundation was. And so he said, forget that. That's too much. I'm just going to throw it up now. Do you know obedience takes effort? It takes great self-denial. It's often not easy, and it's often not fun. Some of the most difficult days of our life are days when we want to go in one direction, but God says, no, that's wrong. You don't do it. And obedience is sometimes tough, but you know what? We obey. Sometimes it's tough to obey mom or dad. But young people, you will be blessed if you obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, and God promises a good life and a long life to those that obey their parents. You can't cut corners in the Christian life. Quick and easy, hassle-free, no-trouble Christianity is what the fool is looking for. It's easier to know what's right than to do what's right. I think this is like spiritual obesity. We're fat and lazy Christians who know everything but do nothing are sort of like the armchair quarterback that knows what that team ought to do, but boy, he'd never be able to get out there on the field and perform. But boy, he's got all the answers. And there's a lot of people, man, they pride themselves in having all the answers. Your answers are nothing if you don't obey truth. Truth is not mere theory. Like many of the ancient Greeks would just sit around and theorize and talk about things, but truth, according to God, was always Our wisdom according to God was always obedience to truth. It was always truth put into action, practical truth. Now both men here face the same storm. Both men face the same storm. A false profession will last until judgment comes. Sometimes that judgment may come in the form of trials in this life, where one's faith or lack thereof comes out and is evidenced. Many people have professed faith in Christ only to deny their faith when life becomes spiritually costly or difficult. But the judgment that the Lord illustrates here probably refers to the final judgment before God, when profession will be ultimately tested before God. God is impartial and will judge all men fairly and equally. And Scripture says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And so, I'll tell you, it's a serious thing to face a holy God. And if it were not for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, none of us would have a chance. To stand before a holy God dressed in rags and unrighteousness, he would have to banish us from his presence. But we're so thankful for the garment of righteousness through Jesus Christ. Once having received that garment, we want to obey God. Yesterday, we were out on the streets at 74th Street handing out tracts and witnessing as we try to do every Saturday. One lady came by two times with her stroller, had a little one-year-old girl in the stroller, and she was from Tibet. Is that right? Where's Victor? Victor, from Tibet. And this lady, she was interested. She comes by, and we're holding up a banner like that one, and she stops, and she's looking at it, just looking at it. So I begin explaining it to her. And she was very interested in hearing, very interested in learning what this meant. You see, she is from Buddhism. She's a Buddhist. She believed that if her good life outweighs her bad life, that she would have a chance at reaching her goal. But she said, according to your picture, though, it's as simple as putting faith in Jesus Christ. Suppose I do that. Suppose I just say, Lord, save me, and I trust him, then I would just go and live any way I want, she thought. And then I shared with her that illustration. That's not the way it works. I said, if you were very poor and had nothing, and I met you and I gave you a lot of money, your response to me would not be a spit in my face, would it? And I said, a true believer who has received something better than all the money in the world will want to obey the Lord because we love the Lord. You see, obedience is the result of faith. Both men faced a storm, but the wise man's house remained firm when he needed it most. When he needed it most. You know, that's really when a house is most needed, when it's bad weather. Isn't that true? I mean, I don't know about you. I like the warm weather we're getting in January, and I like the southern breeze that we've been feeling here lately. It's kind of amazing that at this time of year, which is in the middle of the coldest, most brutal weather we get all year, the Lord's allowed us to have some nice weather lately. And so why go to Florida? We've got it right here. But, you know, we know storms will come. And I do hope we get a blizzard yet this year. Just not next week. We got too much work to get done in this building. And we got to get here every day. My daughter called from Northland this morning and said that they're snowed in over there. And they couldn't get away from campus. They couldn't even get away to go to church. They're stuck. Storms do come, my friends. The snow comes, the rain comes, the winds blow. And that is when a house is most necessary, isn't it? I mean, it's nice to have all the time, but it's most necessary when the storm comes. Now, the wise man's house remained firm when he needed it most. Those who obey the Lord do not crumble when the pressures come, when tragedies strike, when trials, temptations, and tribulations approach. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. You know, when it comes to counseling and giving people advice, they tend to have this idea in their mind that I've got a big problem, Pastor Sawyer, so give me a big answer. In other words, they're looking for some deep answer to their problem, when oftentimes I have found that it's a matter of simple obedience that is lacking in their life. We tend to think for complicated problems, you need complicated answers. That is not true. Having a strong foundation in your life, your family, your ministry, your business, is a matter of simple obedience to God's word. And if we would obey God, we would find things fall into line and life will be a whole lot more fun. For Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Now the fool, his house fell when he needed it most. The fall of the wicked is demonstrated throughout Scripture, like Psalm 36:12. There are the workers of iniquity fallen, they are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Proverbs 6:15, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly, suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Proverbs 11:5, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Jeremiah 6:15, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, but they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Scripture teaches that destruction will come suddenly. The fool's man's house fell when he needed it to stand the most. The fool's house fell when it was too late to build another one. The Bible says great was the fall of it. The loss was great because there was no more time to build another one. And once you're dead, you don't get another chance. There is no chance beyond the grave. If we die without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, we have no other opportunity. The fool will end up with absolutely nothing. We need to be prepared for the future. The end of the wise man is stability and security. The end of the fool is instability. He is like the chaff which the wind driveth away. He will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And so the Lord views the end of the lost as destruction. As he mentioned in verse 13, he uses the word destruction. In verse 19 of this chapter, he speaks of fire being cast into the fire. He speaks in verse 23 of this chapter. He says, depart from me, I never knew you, you who work iniquity. And then he describes it as decimation as the house crumbles in verse 27. And so the fool's house fell when he needed it to stand the most. And my final observation is all that matters in the end is the final score. What endures, what triumphs in the end, that's what matters. In due time, the reality of your walk will be tested and revealed. There is a storm coming that will try every man's work. For the Christian, this will be the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. For the unsaved, it will be the great white throne judgment talked about in Revelation chapter 20. And people will stand before God. And they will say to the Lord, 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 did we not in your name do many wonderful works? And the Lord will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. The Apostle John described it this way, that the books will be opened, and another book will be opened, which is the book of life. And the dead will be judged according to what was written in the books, according to their works. And so some people, they figure, I've got a lot of time. I don't need to worry about something in the future. Like somebody I was talking to this week, very wonderful person, but somebody who I think God's working on her heart. But she said, you know, I just live for the here and now. I live for the now. I don't worry about the future. I don't get myself concerned about what's coming in the future. I just live for the here and now. That's like a lot of foolish people who are, as some have said, penny wise and dollar foolish. Reminding me of the time a guy went into a store and he was to purchase something and he was taking out his credit card and his wallet and something. He put it up on a counter and then he dropped a coin on the floor. He reached down to pick up his penny and when he got up, his wallet was gone. There's a lot of people that are like dime wise and dollar foolish. They think I got to live for the here and now and forget about eternity. Forget about weightier matters. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? A question we need to ask ourselves is, are we building on sand or are we building on rock? The answer to that question is determined by the answer to this one. Are you obeying the Bible? If we are true believers, then we will say, Lord, I want to know your word. I want to know your will. And Lord, I want to obey you. Is that in your heart? Hey, listen, we're going to fail. All of us are going to at times stumble. But the righteous man may fall seven times, but he gets up again because the Lord upholds him with his hand. We have to keep going. Let's obey God. Let's obey what God says. Regarding the family, regarding being a wife or being a husband or being children. Let's obey what God says in His Word about how we should conduct our life. And of course, obedience is not what makes you a Christian, but it is what reveals you to be a Christian. And if we are truly saved, we have the desire to obey. We're not perfect, but we have the desire to obey. And because of the Holy Spirit living within us, we have the power to obey. We've got the ability. Are you obedient? I'd like us to bow our hearts before the Lord for a moment of prayer. And I'd like to ask you a question today, my friend. As we've considered the word foundation, foundation is vital. Do you have a good foundation? Upon what is your life built? Is it built on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe the gospel message about Christ? Have you given your life and your soul into the hands of this faithful Creator? Do you desire to do His will? Hey, I'll tell you, God has given us a lot at Faith Baptist Church. We have the Word. We have a lot of opportunities here for growth. But if we're not obedient, we're just more accountable to God for what He gave us and we didn't submit to. How many in this room would say, Pastor Sawyer, I am not sure I'm a believer because my lips may say one thing, but my life says something else, and I want to straighten this out. I need this corrected in my life. Would you raise your hand if that's your need today? You say, I'm not sure I'm a Christian because my life doesn't show it. Anybody like that today who would say, Pastor, pray for me? God bless you, sir. May God answer your need. Anybody else who today would say, God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand. You may lower that. I'll pray for you. Anybody else? I see your hand, ma'am, and I see your hand, sir. Is there another who would say, pray for me also because I struggle with assurance? God bless you, sir, and you, sir. We have several today who said, pray for me. Would you say that too with an upraised hand? God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand, ma'am. God bless you. May he meet your need as well. We have a lot of people being honest with God today. How about you? You say, I've heard the word. I maybe have heard it for many years, but I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved, and I need to get this settled before the Lord. Anybody else? God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Anybody else? And I see your hand, ma'am. Yes. The Lord is speaking to hearts today. We don't want our house to fall. We don't want our life to be decimated. We need to get this settled. Anybody else who would also say, please pray for me? Young person. Any young people in here who would say, my life speaks contrary to my profession. I'm not obedient like I should be, and frankly don't have the desire to obey, and this scares me. Anybody else? May the Lord meet all of your needs. How many here would say, praise God, I am a Christian, and I know I need to obey the Lord, but I've not been submitting to Him when His Spirit speaks to my heart. But God helping me, I'm going to be obedient to His word. Would you raise your hand? I see that hand, and many, many, many people. God bless you all. As God speaks to your heart, give in, submit to God, obey His word, and you'll be blessed. Hear the sayings of the Lord, but then obey. Anybody else who would say, I've not been obedient, pray for me as well. God bless you, young man. And I see your hand, ma'am. Yes. Anybody else? I see your hand, young lady. You say, I need to obey God and get serious about obedience, not just taking comfort in the fact that I could quote Bible verses, not just taking comfort in the fact that I know the Bible, but I need to obey it. Anybody else? I see your hand, sir. Yes, young man. And I see that hand. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I first pray for those who raise their hand indicating a need for you. Lord, I pray that you would show them how much you love them. I pray that they will realize that when you hung on that cross, it was to make payment for all of their sins. May they believe the gospel that you died for them and rose again. And Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that even today they would not just leave this place and forget about the message, but that they would call out to you, Lord, and ask you, Lord Jesus, to be their personal Lord and their personal Savior from sin and from hell. May they cry out to you today, Lord Jesus, and may they entrust their soul into your hands. Lord, I pray that they would not end up in ruin, that nobody in this building would end up in hell without you. But Lord, I pray that they will trust you, Lord Jesus. And then I pray for every believer, those who raised their hands and perhaps those who didn't but should have. Lord, give us all the grace that we need to obey you. May we obey you from the heart. May we, Lord, love to obey you. Give us a cheerful obedience, not a reluctance and a stubbornness. But Lord, may we like to obey you. Lord, please work in everyone here. Help the wives to obey your command to submit to their husbands. Help the husbands to obey the command to love their wives and to lead their family in righteousness. Help the children to obey your command to obey their parents. And help us all, Lord, to be submitted to the authorities that you've placed over us. Lord, may we be obedient to your command to share the gospel. May we be obedient to your command to make disciples. May we be obedient to your commands to live a moral, pure, holy lifestyle.
Lord, may we walk in obedience. Forgive us, Lord, for our many times of disobedience. Cleanse us, Lord. And may we all have a firm foundation anchored upon Jesus Christ. We pray this in His name. Amen.